Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm and the music of Django Reinhardt. I'm Dave Radlauer. Here's Peter Coyote.
Stefan and Django didn't get on very well. The quintet would get a job at some posh place, and the local gypsies would hear about it. And when Stefan went to their dressing room, Django always made sure they had fancy dressing rooms. All these gypsies would be there. They'd been out stealing chickens, and they'd pluck and cook them. Once there was no stove, so they just started burning the furniture.
This is Jazz Rhythm, a weekly exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. During this focus on French gypsy guitarist Django Reinhardt, you'll be hearing Peter Coyote, actor, writer, and a guitarist himself, reading from Mike Zwerin's La Tristesse de Saint-Louis. With only three or four exceptions, all the music this hour was composed or co-authored by Django, mostly with his longtime partner in the quintet of the Hot Club of France, jazz violinist Stefan Grappelli, and recorded between 1935 and 1940.
One more, Steph, one more.
Django never had to learn music. He just started to play it. Played it 10 hours a day, fingers swollen and sometimes bleeding by the end. Played music without knowing a note. He could not read or write, either music or words, and he would never learn. He only went to school for one day in his life. Later, he would avoid the metro because he could not read the station signs. A photograph taken of him in the 1920s shows what resembles a Harlem street hustler preoccupied by major capers, or maybe an Oriental prince. tall for his age, thin and natty. His hair is slicked back. He's wearing a blue serge suit, a tweed vest, starched white shirt, elegantly knotted tie, and shiny black shoes. He had just been awarded first prize in a banjo contest. Already, Django liked to disappear. They were not exactly binges, though he also liked wine and women. They might more accurately be defined as an affirmation of free will. He played poker, belote, billiards, music, of course, went to sleep at dawn or not at all. He slept when he was sleepy, whenever and wherever that might be.
Minor Swing and Djangology, most of the tunes we're hearing are originals by Django, with just a couple of easily recognizable exceptions, such as Sweet Georgia Brown. I should probably clarify, by the way, about Django playing banjo. Banjo was a very popular instrument among gypsies and plectrists in general until about 1930, partly because of its loudness, which projected well, especially outdoors. However, like Django, many played a six-string banjo, which plays chords like a guitar. Nonetheless, violin, a perennial favorite among gypsies, was Django's very first instrument. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz, Rhythm, Jumping, Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. And my guest, reading from Mike Zwerin's La Tristesse de Saint Louis, you're hearing Peter Coyote, actor, writer, and a guitarist himself. Django was born and raised in a gypsy caravan. Like most gypsies, he married young, in his mid-teens, fathering his first child at about 17 or 18. But soon, a tragedy struck that changed the course of Django's life and the future of jazz.
For a while after the baby was born, Django came home after work like a family man. He was to have a succession of wives to whom he was not officially married and to whom his unfaithfulness did not basically take the form of other women, although he had them too. He was just out all the time. Like his mother, the wives sold lace and artificial flowers door to door and in the markets around the gates of Paris. Otherwise, they stayed home and waited for Django. Entering the caravan one night, Django stumbled over a bouquet of artificial flowers. The caravan was filled with artificial flowers his wife and friends had made for a funeral. His wife lit a candle for him. During the night, the candle set fire to the flowers and the caravan burned. He was taken to a hospital where doctors wanted to amputate his badly scorched left leg. He refused. Django did not trust doctors. He could no longer play the guitar because his left fretboard hand looked as though it had been squeezed in a vise and stepped on. But after a year starving, 19-year-old Django Reinhardt was learning how to play the guitar using the paralyzed ring and little fingers of his fretboard hand. He learned to drag the crippled fingers along the strings. All he did was practice, eat, and sleep, mostly practice. The catastrophe became an asset. He used his paralyzed fingers to dampen strings, found cross fingerings, learned leaner voicings out of necessity. He was finding ways to use his thumb to play hitherto unplayable octave passages for which he would later be famous. Django and his brother Joseph, also playing guitar now, were busking in Toulon cafes. They wore the only clothes they owned. Django's guitar had no case. Joseph carried it for him. Princes do not carry guitars, they play them. He did not care about having a guitar case. He never even thought about the instrument when he wasn't playing it. He would just put it in a corner, and if Joseph forgot to pick it up, there it would stay. He never put it in the repair shop. If it broke, he'd play it anyway, and when it became unplayable, he'd buy or steal another one. When a string broke, it would just stay broken until Joseph strung another. He and Joseph slept on the beach near Toulon. The two of them had just up and left Paris and their women. No warning, no plans. Gaggio often accused Django of being indolent, insolent, irresponsible, intolerant, arrogant, childish. But he was actually more childlike, living for the moment, volatile. You could never tell what he was going to do next. Django acquired a bad habit. Taxis. Worse, limousines. There was something about him that inspired a chauffeur's confidence. He already played the role of Prince well and would learn to play it better. He seemed so removed, above it all, to have important matters on his mind. Do not bother me about mere money. He hired Packards, Citroens, and Rolls-Royces by the hour or by the day. More money could always come. All he had to do was pick up his guitar. It was so easy. Only the occasional driver would turn him down, spotting something fishy about the gray spats and the fancy rings, the hair just a bit too shiny. Thank you. A friend of Toulouse painter Émile Savetri spoke of Django, "He's a strange one, so quiet, so different. They play all night for bouillabaisse and beer. They survive from day to day. It doesn't seem to bother them." Savitri invited the Reinhardts for a spaghetti dinner. He had some records he wanted them to hear. Listening to Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, and Earl Hines, Django sat like a coiled animal blinded by the sun. He closed his eyes, bent an ear towards the speaker. For the first time, he understood his own musicality. He had found a family, new brothers. Gypsies were the niggers of Europe anyway. And wasn't his mother named Negros? Sweating, in a kind of trance, he finally stood up and said, "The guitar player behind Lewis is out of tune. He could do better. He could be the best." The Reinhardt brothers moved in with Savitri, who found them work in a club where they wore tuxedos Savitri bought for them. Steady, well-paid work carried Django's generosity to Byzantine proportions. He bought rounds for Corsican gangsters, neighborhood toughs, for sailors, musicians, and gypsies. Making money cost him so little. He played with such easy intoxication, no chemicals required. It was so much fun, it was almost like stealing. Thank you.
wonderful. Appel Direct, 1938, Quintet of the Hot Club of France, with Django's brother, Joseph Reinhardt, and Louis Vola bass. Like almost all the music this hour that was composed by Django, as were Swing 41, Swing 39, and Billet Doux, two tickets, the Quintet of the Hot Club of France recording between 1938 and 1940. You also heard Django soloing on Najouin. Dave Redlar with you for Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, old and new. Thanks for being with me, and thanks to my special guest narrator, Peter Coyote, reading from his friend Mike Zwerin's fabulous book on jazz in Europe during World War II, La Tristesse de Saint Louis. Still ahead, Django's curious life during World War II, meeting and confounding Coleman Hawkins and Andres Segovia, and another half dozen of his original tunes. Thank you.